the fail-safe issue. Covered a lot of ground in the last hour. A quickie, back to this DeLong thing, which I'm really not up to speed on, gentlemen. There's an admiral involved with DeLong, and there's an admiral involved with Richard. Is it the same guy?
Same guy.
No comment.
Well, no comment. No, it's okay. No, it's okay. It's the same guy that is involved with all three. Intel guy, DeLong.
All right.
The Intel guy, DeLong, and Rich. It's all okay. Right. We can say no comment on that. Sorry. There's no name, so it doesn't...
No, we don't have any names. It's We're not fine. An issue. There's more than one admiral out there.
I want to just mention, too, after security falls, Rich, from my establishment...
Down the street.
...worked in New, York, in New York City.
And there's not another car on the street, you said.
Not. I'm telling you, Jeff, not another damn car in the street. Not one parked.
That's weird. That is really weird.
Well, no, not really. Not really. On a Monday night in New York City, on that particular avenue, with the parking lots, you're not going to have cars. So it's not uncommon to see that.
No taxi cabs either?
No. There's taxi cabs coming down. It's just there's no cars parked. But there was very little traffic at that time.
All right. Okay, very good. Go ahead. Onward. Yes.
Keep this in mind is that, so after that happened, they followed Rich. They waited till I moved. I didn't move. And then they made the U-turn, and the guy hit his head and then, hit his face and went after Rich. 2 days later, I saw the guy in the passenger seat. He came back 2 days later, and I didn't see him till the last moment, but about 8 feet away, he popped a photo off his iPhone of me.
Was he in the car or was he on the street? Or was he in the establishment?
No, he had parked.
Uh-huh.
This is on a Thursday. He had parked and walked over, waited till my back was turned. I was out in front of my establishment. I turned. This guy was 8 feet away. He popped an iPhone photo of me, took a picture. And then I watched him, and I was somewhat perplexed. And then he jumped. He walked about 30 yards, jumped into like a black Lexus, made another illegal U-turn, and then headed west and then made a right.
All right. Okay, so what happened to Rich when he left you and walked down the road?
Well, he tried to get to Obama. He went to the 34th Street Heliport. That's where he said he was going.
Mm-hmm.
And then he moved to, he went to some undisclosed location to try to make contact where POTUS was at to give him the card. That's what he told us. And he was dressed in civvies. He was in a bow tie. And we don't know if he succeeded, but at some point he did succeed, and that's what we know. The last thing in the mission.
Oh, Jeff.
Hey, by the way, Sean got cut off, Jeff. I think.
Okay. All right, we'll get him back. We'll get him back.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So as far as you know, he was able to get. He was vetted. Secret Service didn't pay much attention to him. He was okay. Obama goes in the bathroom. He goes in the bathroom with Obama, and maybe Obama in men's rooms isn't such an unusual thing to Secret Service people. I don't know, but he gave him a card, someone to contact, and that was the mission.
And Obama jointly, give Obama credit, jointly knew to take the card, put it in his pocket quickly before Secret Service came into the bathroom.
Okay.
To remove Rich.
All right. And, well, why would they remove him if he'd already been, quote, vetted?
Well, I mean, he's a president of the United States, even though you have a vetted...
but the president goes in the bathroom, and everyone's going to say, well, wait a minute. Yeah, all right, even if the Secret Service gives him his privacy in the bathroom, they're going to stand by the goddamn door.
Yeah, they didn't do it too well, and he got by. That's plain and simple.
Well, all right.
You know, listen, it's human nature. When you're in
I know things happen. Yeah. I understand.
Yeah.
I got it. The best plays are often unpredictable, and that happens. So, fine.
And if anybody can do it, believe me what I can tell you, if anybody can do it, Rich can do it.
All right.
So, he's that type of guy. He can slip in. So he's as wily as they come. So,
he managed to get by.
That's why the Secret Service said, hey, right. you're good.
So he went back, and we assume he told the admiral, mission accomplished, I got the card to him, and is that the end of the story?
We don't know what happened there. We don't know what happened subsequently, but I'm fairly, Jeff, I don't have any proof, but I'm fairly certain Obama was briefed on the program. think he was given a heads up about what the Navy was involved in, at least in the off-world stuff. And we can only surmise that because at one point after the first off-world mission, Rich had met the SecDef and gave him an unofficial accounting report and stood right at his desk and waited, let him read it while he said, holy cow, holy cow. And
why wouldn't the SecDef tell Obama?
He said they'll make contact. He said, what's that?
No one's calling.
Yeah, there's no one calling him yet. Yeah, so there's no one on the phone yet. I don't know if... I think
Todd, try if Sean's line is clear, we should be able to call him. All right, Clay, are you there?
Okay.
So yeah, the right secretary, the SecDef, Secretary of Defense, is briefed by Rich. Mm-hmm. Why doesn't he report to his commander in chief? Why wouldn't he do that? That's just a matter of course, for God's sakes.
Well, I mean. First of all, I mean, you know, you're dealing with SAPs, special access programs.
Yeah, I know.
Obama's only going to learn just what the SAP demands that he should learn. Okay?
Okay.
This is all compartmented stuff. This is why when Tom DeLonge is going to these people, he's going to different entities that have privileged information that do not share it with. This is why Rich always says the left hand does not know what the right hand's doing.
It seems like
the
Pickerings know what both hands are doing.
Well, you know,
you guys are very well informed, thanks to Rich.
Well, it's not that we're well informed. We are.
Well, you are informed.
Here's the thing: is that Jeff? You know, who are we? We don't have any credibility. We're safe.
Well, that's a question that I can't answer. Who are we? Why you? And you do have an awful lot of very exclusive information, and that's the truth. And the question would be, why you guys? Just because you're friends with Riches? Did he pick you out? Was he told to pick you out? I mean, you have been, if all this is true, you have been blessed with information, the likes of which virtually no one else on the planet outside of a handful of human beings knows. That's pretty amazing.
Well, George,
yeah, I mean, I just want to offer one more thing. Now, remember, Obama's connected to the civilian side of things, which makes it much more difficult. It was much more easier for Rich to reach in to the recesses of the Pentagon. So he actually briefed a SecDef that worked for Obama. I will not mention his name. And that briefing never happened because it was never signed off on.
See, all right.
Briefings never happen unless you sign
off. It's off the books. I understand. I got you.
Yeah. So, but it was much easier for Rich to reach out to that SecDef, and he showed him the program, and that SecDef goes, holy cow. And Rich goes, no, holy S.
Holy cow. I never knew anything about this. We got a $20 trillion budget. I knew nothing about this. It's a shock to me. All right. Okay. All right.
To me, that doesn't surprise me because these people, you know, this particular person had been at a university, had been in and out of government in various capacities in the intelligence area and in the Pentagon.
Right.
He's an executive.
Okay. All right. Can we get on to fail-safe?
Sure.
The big deal. I don't want to run out of time on this, so we want to make sure we get this covered.
We're moving through this, okay? So Rich comes to us in early April of 2010, he said, hey, you guys have been aces up. I want you to see the people I know. I want you to see me in my environment. I want you to understand who I deal with and how they react to me. So we go, okay, what day is it? It's a Thursday. I can't make it. I got to work. I can't get out of it. But Clay was off. So he was able to go to what is the Navy League meeting. And
those are the pictures. Essence,
correct. The essence of it was a cyber warfare speech presented by
Admiral.
Presented by Ruffett. Admiral Ruffett.
Right.
Now,
nobody is named Admiral Ruffhead, by the way. That's Hollywood Central casting. Just can't be. But it is. All right, go ahead.
So, Clay, you take over.
Well, it's Essentially, it's a public meeting. It's been said that I thought it was. It's been put out there as a meme that it was an exclusive meeting. No, that was a meme. It's a public meeting. Anybody can enjoy. Can go to the luncheon. And I think this was April 8th, 2008. Pretty sure Thursday. So anybody can go. You just pay your dues. You sign up early. You pay your dues, and you can go in. Except the problem is that. To get in there is quite difficult because when you apply, they say, hey, look, you know, I'm sorry, we are at capacity, but we thank you that we appreciate that you want to come in. And that's how they screen.
Now, if you look in guests on the homepage, you'll see a link, Clay Pickering at 2010 Navy League meeting, and you'll see some pictures of Clay there.
Actually, the date's incorrect.
What should the date be?
It should be 4-8-2010.
Well, we just have 2010. All right.
Right.
That's okay.
It's actually, I had it on the 10th. It was not the 10th. It was the 8th, which was a Thursday.
Okay.
Very good.
Right,
okay.
So
Clay's at the Navy League meeting. All right.
I told Rich, I said, listen, we're taking a beating in the blogs. They don't believe the story. This is the night before. They don't think that this is absolutely bullshit. You know, excuse my language. And it's not real. So he said, well, okay, tell you what I'm going to do. Once you show up tomorrow, I'm going to go into the Navy League meeting. I'm going to get you in. I go, Navy League meeting? He goes, yeah, I'll crash in. I go, you're going to crash me in? He says, yeah, it's a public thing, but it's not, you know, they put that out there, but, it's only certain people that are vetted in and they get in. So I said, okay. So I showed up and sure enough, Rich showed up and he crashed me in. But before he crashed me in, he had to go through at least three or four different people. One, he had to go through the organizer of the event of the Navy League and get his permission. No name. I don't want to give a name. He had to go to Admiral Ruffin's head of security, a gunny sergeant, and said, hey, I want to get my friend in. No name. Then he had to go to another officer, okay, who happened, I'm fairly certain, happened to be, I think this person, he had to go to this person, but this particular officer was the third UN counterpart to the original initiative that Rich was involved in. He had to go through that person, and Rich vetted him. So three to four people, so I got in. And I paid the $60 for luncheon to hear Chief of Naval Operations Admiral Ruffhead, Gary Ruffhead, speak about the Ninth Fleet. And the Ninth Fleet was about...
10th.
Okay. Yeah, excuse me, the 10th fleet. I apologize. Tenth. I'm sorry, 10th fleet. The 10th fleet was about the funding of an additional 44,000 under the CSS Cyber Warfare Division for the United States Navy, dedicated to cyber warfare, crypto intelligence, whereby not one ship would be built, and that monies would be appropriated for what Rich believes, and he said to me at this time, ostensibly was the war on terror and cyber warfare, but much more important, for contact, unambiguous contact. That's the overall objective for cyber warfare. That's what the test fleet was for, to be able to respond, command and control, for any situation, C3, command, control, communication, and intelligence to be able to respond anywhere on the planet for whatever needs, and specifically for contact, extraterrestrial contact. He was quite confident in that. So with that being said, the organizer, the handler to Gary Ruffhead, who happens to be, I'm quite sure, CFR, Council for Foreign Relations, he's the one that took all the cards from people who had questions to give to Gary Ruffhead, Admiral Gary Ruffhead.
So this is Q&A after Gary's presentation.
Right, about the command and control and the 10th Fleet and its responsibilities. And for you people out there, the 10th Fleet was actually formed during the FDR administration during World War II. And at that time, there was only 50 people, and they were essentially a Navy unit for minesweeping to bring the convoys over to Europe during World War II. That was mothballed. But the bureaucracy and the paperwork and everything that entails the 10th Fleet was reinvigorated, and this new program under cyber warfare, the 10th Fleet, was reconstituted.
Center picture shows Admiral Ruffhead Somebody's standing next to him. If you look in his left hand, he's got a bunch of, look like 3x5 cards. And then over to the right is a picture of Clay with a red circle around his head. So the guy standing there is going to hand the Admiral these cards from the audience for Q&A. All right.
Got it. So Roughhead gives a speech. Out of those cards, 23, if I'm correct, 23. At least 23 of those cards dealt with questions directed towards Admiral Roughhead on extraterrestrial contact, on extraterrestrials. None of those cards got read.
None of them got read. How did you find out that there were approximately 23?
Because Rich was in charge of those cards. He had those cards. He's the one that collected them.
Rich did? Oh,
yep.
All right. At you seated in the room. I'm not going to ask if Rich is in the picture or not, but you are sitting next to the door, or close to the door.
It's okay. You can.
Oh, well, is Rich in the room? He must be
if he picked up
the cards. So we'll leave it at that.
He's sitting at that table, and that picture that you see, it's actually not on your – you don't have it, but there is a picture you can see of me taken from Rich's POV. There's two of them. And that's what blew it up. And that's what exposed Richard. And the RU crowd was able to triangulate and go through Dr. Maccabee and say, hey, is this the guy that you met in Maccabee? He's not trained in tradecraft. He threw our guy in the bus. He goes, yeah, that's him. And that's the rest is history. So, that was back to me. Now, I want to make a point here is that two of the people, two officers at that place who I met one, I had a nice conversation with. He was the second UN counterpart to the disclosure confirmation process. When Rich got outed and went in the failsafe, he had to give up his position to another person. That person is another officer who speaks fluent Farsi. And was put in as a third counterpart, and also was given permission to go at least to a particular point on the last off-world mission with Rich.
How many missions has Rich has made? Three off-world treks, according to
two off-world.
All right.
Okay.
Now, when you said one thing which we need to clarify, you said when Rich was outed. Who outed him, and what did they out him for?
On 5/20/10, Reality Uncovered blog participants triangulated the pictures of the meeting. They approached Bill Maccabee because they had an idea who Rich was. Approached Bill Maccabee with a picture of Richard sitting at the table, and Maccabee, without thinking, confirmed, and they knew that they had their guy.
Who? Now, you said Bill Maccabee. You're talking about Bruce Maccabee.
Bruce Maccabee, excuse me.
All right, so say that last sentence again. So Maccabee said, yeah, that's him, and he's at the table.
Richard is cooked, fail-safe.
Why is he cooked? What cooks him? Why is he
identified. At that point, nobody knew who he was. They didn't know his name.
Okay.
I'll answer
Jeff's question, because once they had the name and the picture, they checked his DD-214, which proves you were in the military service.
Mm-hmm.
Bingo. No military service, nothing. So they tagged the stolen valor on him as a fraud. And they went after him through NCIS and the FBI and God knows who else to prosecute. And this was at a time when the Stolen Valor Act was in place during the Bush administration.
Stolen Valor, explain to our audience what it is.
Stolen valor is people who take on awards or medals or accommodations and pass themselves off as military, which I absolutely unequivocally find abhorrent. And these people should be hanged from not from a yardarm. That's military, but from a tree. It's just you don't do that.
Okay, so Rich is busted. This is his last public appearance, basically, and he's busted. He's got to go fail safe. All right, let's go. Fail safe
means...
Well,
actually, that wasn't his last public appearance. There was one additional... he might have done one or two. And one of those appearances happened in May of 2010, and that's where Morningstar accompanied Rich to the commander's meeting. The commander's, help me out with the term, commander's.
Yeah,
it's a greet and meet.
Yeah, greet and meet.
Right. Okay, so let's just jump ahead here a little bit, not much. Rich is busted. His picture, he's ID'd. He's got to go dark. He's got to go, way dark. He's out. He's got to go fail safe. What does this entail? What happened?
At that point, he finds out that that a particular person connected with the Navy order has it out for him, so they sick the FBI and the NCIS on Richard.
But wait a minute. Wait, I have a question.
Hold on, guys. You're confusing the issue. This is why it's so intricate. There's two. I was at the Navy League, okay? The head of the Naval Order, Rich, was also attending. So there's two venues, but they're both intertwined.
Okay.
The head of the Naval Order.
The point of it is, let's just not to get wrapped up in minutiae, the point of it is this particular person had juice that was connected both to the Navy League and the Navy Order, okay? And the RU crowd had contacted this guy, put pressure on him, and so he ends up finding out that, he has to respond. So he ends up contacting the FBI and the NCIS on Richard because of all the pressure he's receiving. Okay, so this particular person had carried some weight because he was a former prosecutor in New Jersey. That happened on June 28, 2010. At this point, Rich's goose is cooked. He's just waiting to get picked up for stolen valor. Now, bear in mind, stolen valor eventually was found unconstitutional in 2012 under the United States versus Alvarez case.
But okay.
But in 2010, he could have been prosecuted for stolen valor.
We have a bigger issue here. The bigger issue is that Rich is involved with the most ultra above top secret program on the planet. He has gone to Venus twice with extraterrestrials.
No, he's not gone to Venus twice.
Not classified.
Sorry?
We got to remember this. This is not classified. This is not a classified program.
All right.
So everything is in the color of.
Jeff, also, I got to clarify something. He went off world twice and only to Venus once. Okay?
All right. Very good.
Keep that in mind.
Fine.
Okay.
That's fine. He traveled with ETs twice, once to Venus, once elsewhere. Okay. Got it. He had the HEAR unit implanted in him twice?
Nope.
Once.
Just once.
All right. Why would anyone running a program like that allow the commander of the group, the star pupil, to take the fall for stolen valor?
Now you know why Richard wanted to get out of the black program. He just hit the nail on the head. Because you're disposable. And it wasn't classified. I remember at a party one time, Rich turned to me and goes, I got to get out of this. This is hell. I'm tired of my life being absolutely completely controlled. I want to get out of this. You're disposable. That was the issue. That's why he wanted out of the black programs. It was onerous for him.
But there's a value to Rich if he did all these things that is not easily replaceable. He's the commander of the group.
He's replaceable.
Oh, yeah, okay, I understand
that. Jeff, you hit the nail on the head.
He's the group commander.
No, but keep this in mind. This particular entity, the C's, Rich was the, that's our guy here. We want him.
That's,
so Rich was he was leveraging that. He was actually, he started bullying that, if lack of better words, the fact that he was wanted and started taking liberties. And essentially the power structure couldn't say no. They just had to protect him.
Now, when you go back and you say that the program was not classified, does that mean plausible deniability?
Correct.
All right.
It's as simple as that. It's a program, non-program, and Richard was a whistleblower, non-whistleblower.
All
right. It's in the gray area. So you've got black, you get white programs, you get black programs, and they get the gray programs.
Okay. Now, there's something we need to talk about here, too. This on the internet, in I guess 2010, was a big topic among certain groups. The whole Richard issue made a lot of noise. Richard had to go fail-safe when he was outed and then was waiting to be picked up for federal prosecution and went fail-safe. But this was a big thing on the internet, correct? Among a certain group of people.
Yes.
Yep.
And
Stolen Valor was really big at that time. Keep that in mind.
Yeah.
I don't blame people.
No. But that's not what I'm getting at here. Yes, of course. So what did Richard do? We need to get to this. I don't want to know where he is. I don't want to know his P.O. box. He doesn't have one, but I don't want to know anything. I just want to know what was in place, and how quickly did he, have you ever seen him again?
Okay, well, that's light speed. On 6/30/10, Richard was picked up and questioned by the FBI for stolen valor. Okay? He actually contacted us at that point because he still had his phone, right?
Right.
So the FBI and NCIS chose not to go any further with Richard's case. Okay?
Why?
That infuriated the particular person with the Navy order. Basically, a JAG officer in the middle of the interrogation shows up. He says, "Can I see him?" There were four FBI individuals connected to the interrogation, if you want to call it that, the questioning. And next thing you know, three of them looked and go, "Yeah." So Rich just walked out. It's kind of like at the end of that movie, Lord of War. He says, "There's someone at the end of the year is going to knock on the door, and I'm going to walk right out." That's exactly what happened to Richard. He walked right out.
Also, I'd like to tell the Jeff and listeners is I got a call from Rich while he was in the can, and I mean that literally. He said, "Hey, listen, FBI just picked me up. They're interrogating me,
They didn't take his cell phone away.
Well, this was an informal type of informal, not an arrest, to questioning. So he gave his phone. No, they didn't take his phone. They just said, "Hey, listen, we want to ask you some questions. We've been getting this and
all
that."
Right,
so
okay.
They didn't take his phone.
It's almost a preliminary. All right.
Yeah.
All right. So he's gone. He's gone. He's gone. That's it. Right. He's gone. You guys go dark for 7.5 years. You're back here now.
Actually, Jack was monitoring our phone calls at that time. And we were explaining to them, or to Rich, is that he was trying to turn this off. And I said, "There's no way you're going to turn this off. It's RU." I said, "They're going to keep going." I said,
"Explain RU again, please."
Reality Uncovered are the people expose.
That's the board online. Okay.
Yeah, right. That's the board. So, you know, people can look and get an objective view. But you're only get the analog view, folks. I'm telling you, you're only going to get the script. Okay.
Okay. Right.
So they expose them, and JAG comes in. The four FBI let him go. Three of them shake Rich's hand. The other guy, the toothpick in the head guy. That's a quote. End quote by Rich. He's the guy. He didn't want to shake Rich's hand because he knew Rich was is walking between the raindrops, and some guys don't like that. Okay. And in Rich's world, he walks between the raindrops. So he gets out of there. And the biggest worry out of Failsafe was not NCIS. It was the FBI. It was. But if he gets tossed in jail under stolen valor, you have 3 days in there whereby you can't be protected, where the prisoner population who frowns on stolen valor would do whatever he wanted to. So that was the big worry. Survived the 3 days. But that didn't happen. Sure.
So there was an investigation by the RU crowd about, because we had mentioned on the blog that he was arrested. So they checked the field office in New York, and there was absolutely no record of it. So I told that to Rich, and he chuckled. He goes, "They had the wrong field office." So, consequently, he was released, and now he's on his own. Go back to Gulf War One. He's on his own. He's out of the program, out of a certain program, ready to get back into another program. He was just waiting to get back in that second off-world program. So he was very antsy about that. He just wanted to go.
You mean the second off-world program in terms of mission?
Correct. Which All happened right. in 11.
All right. When did Rich go fail-safe? What's your timeline?
It kicked in June 28th, 2010.
And you haven't seen him since.
Let me back up a little bit here. When he May, if I remember correctly, about mid-May. It was a Sunday or Monday, and Rich is in full fail-safe. Bob Vanderklok is with us.
Explain that to our listeners, please. He's in full fail-safe. Please.
Full fail-safe means it's complete disavowal. In other words, you're on your own.
He was never in the Air Force. He was never this. He was never that. He was never anything.
Nothing.
All right. I got no record. I've done nothing. I'm a non-person, basically. I'm a non-entity.
Yeah, well, in other words, you're never tied to any organization or principles or programs.
I got it. All right. I just want to make sure everybody listening gets it. Okay.
So when he comes in, this is in May, when he comes in, he says, I got to go in full fail-safe. Bob Vanderklok was there, and that was it. He said, hey, look, you know, it's full fail-safe. We got to turn this off because if this is the NCIS, the FBI, the state's attorney general's office, and the worst of all, guys, the worst of all, Fox News, if Fox News picked it up, because Fox was going after stolen valor. That was a big worry. Besides the others. The others could be handled or controlled.
Surely they had more vivid cases of stolen valor than riches.
Yeah, but when you start contacting the Naval Order, a prosecutor, a former New Jersey prosecutor, and you bring a lot of light, it was creating a lot of problems. It was creating a tremendous amount of problems, and it was getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Well, obviously none of these people knew what Rich was really all about, did they?
Well, they certainly found out aspects of his life because it popped up in the internet organization.
Well, I wasn't tuned in on this 8 years ago. So this was on the internet that he was involved with this mission off planet, and the non off planet mission or whatever the second one. The internet knew all this.
Correct.
Okay. All right.
Okay, so basically, he's waiting. We don't see him. He leaves again on August of 2010. We don't see him again until November of 2010. We have a number of meetings. We catch up.
Let me read this, guys. It's very pertinent. John, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Let me read this because this is before he goes off. This is the mission. The last mission was held off for a month because of fail-safe, because of everything that was going on with NCIS, the FBI, everybody. Okay, and they're waiting for it to cool down or where they can control it before he would go on the last mission. So this is 7:26:10 at 7:02 p.m. Gentlemen, this is.
Hold on. Wait 10 seconds. Wait. It's all right. Hold on. We don't want the siren.
New York guys. Okay.
All right.
Gentlemen, this is from Rich. Gentlemen, permission. I'm going to have to leave out some of this guy, so I'll just read between the lines. Gentlemen, permission granted for this last contact. We are at 48 hours and counting to wheels up. It is unfortunate that so-and-so from the Naval Order has linked up with so-and-so and the RU people. He seems to believe in the RU folks more than NCIS. Not once did he try, that so-and-so from the Naval Order, try to contact me. As I said, we ran with some info that his ex, Rich's ex, used. And after consultation with the PTBs, I suggested I write an apology letter to him and the Naval Order to ease the situation somewhat. The letter was well received by other members, but not by so-and-so. It's from the Naval Order. It seems that Bill has rejected it and is now so pissed off with the press that NCIS will not proceed with the case. Okay? I guess we can expect my letter to be published on the RU site, even on so-and-so's site. So be it. It's nothing that hasn't been already said on the sites. I've been cleared to take off, and that all that matters. If the going public amounts to just the websites, that's fine with me. If so-and-so, Bill pushes for Fox News, then all they get is more no comment from family, and I'm talking about Texas here, remember, not one of my brothers said anything, nor so-and-so, my wife, nor so-and-so, which I might add, she is so afraid of this particular person at the Naval Order, and for good reason. Point of information, so-and-so's curtain vendetta is splitting the New York Naval Order in two. There is a big element that just wants him to drop it. So who needs to get therapy now? All my best. Onward.
So he takes off. We don't see him until November of 2010. We have a number of meetings with him. Then I'm really going zipping right by. Then on July 21st, 2011, Richard is invited for the ceremonial tours of the last shuttle launch. He's invited to Cape Canaveral to view the last launch, mission takeoff, and landing. He subsequently shows the Pickerings the parking pass, VIP ID tag, and other items of the event, which he did show us. The pictures we viewed that he took were not on the internet when he showed us, and subsequently those pictures, some of them, showed up on the internet. So this is how failsafe. He can provide us with all the pictures in the world, but those pictures will show up on the internet, okay? And people will say, oh, he got it off the internet. When in reality, those pictures did not exist on the internet when he showed it to us. They subsequently showed, this is how they cover stuff up. So there's one picture, there's I think two pictures that I've never seen on his ceremonial last shuttle tour that never hit the internet.
Let me add this too, that Rich said. Those astronauts, NASA astronauts that are military, some of those military astronauts had volunteered for the program in which Rich was a part of. That's the off-board program. They knew him. They knew him. And he broke the ice with one of them. When he tapped him on the leg, when he walked over, because they were looking at him at this particular function, he tapped him on the leg. This is Rich, another astronaut, and said, hey, zero Gs, because Rich has to wear a leg brace because of the effects of zero Gs. And some astronauts have had that problem, bone degradation, mineral depletion, organ problems, you name it. But in his case, his left knee wears a left leg brace. He has to get shots every year, one shot each year, to help help alleviate the pain and be able to move. But anyhow, he tapped that particular astronaut at this particular function to break the ice and said, hey, zero Gs, eh? And that astronaut embraced him and showed him his leg brace. And I've been trying to get that astronaut, this is an astronaut, to come forward and tell me privately that, in fact, that he didn't beat Rich and that he does wear a leg brace. So if you're listening, my friend, contact me. I'd love to know.
Okay, so Rich.
The race a little forward. Okay,
yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
That happened. In April of 2012, Rich leaves for an undisclosed location to start his new life. He's very happy. He's off the grid.
Mm-hmm.
And we still are in contact with him here and there.
All right.
So
okay.
That's 45.
So he's alive and well. What's his age now?
65 or 66, 67. Sorry,
yeah.
Clay.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, roughly right about there, Sean. You're right. Yeah.
He's got like 11 years on us.
Was he in... What were his earlier service stints again? I've forgotten. Was he in Nam?
He was 17
yes.
when he went over to Vietnam.
He was what?
1970.
17?
Yeah, he just got out of high school. In fact, he didn't go to his graduation in high school. He mm-hmm. blew it off. He went right mm-hmm. into the military.
Oh, right. Hey, before I forget this, all of Rich's brothers are in the black world, all of them. All of
Interesting.
Them.
All right. Now, we have 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go back to what I asked earlier. Was Rich's meeting with you two accidental or something else? How did you get to know him in your view of history? Coincidence or more? You're the two best spokesmen for his story that he could probably ever get. So how did this happen? What are your thoughts on it?
I got to tell you, there's something to be said for serendipity. I hit lotto, Jeff. You have to look at it this way. If you put your, and I say this to all the listeners, if you put your antenna up and you make yourself aware of information,
mm-hmm.
and you're able to look and say, hey, let me probe this, let me probe that, let me look at, you kind of get an idea of who to ask and who to look for. So when I saw this gentleman walk down during Fleet Week in May of 2006, an older gentleman, Lieutenant Commander, and I said, hey, would you like to come in and have a drink in appreciation for you, in our appreciation for your service for your country? And that's how it happens that way sometimes.
Yeah,
it
I remember you telling. Yeah, I know it does.
Can I
absolutely. Go ahead, Sean.
Okay, then that's the coincidence theory, okay?
And the other one?
There's the predetermined theory, okay? And I'll give you an example, okay? One night I'm hanging at my brother's house, and it's about dusk, and I don't know where my brother and his daughter are. She was about 10 years old at the time. So I go outside, and they're throwing peanuts up in the air, and they have these lasers. And they
Who's they?
My brother and his daughter.
Okay.
We're in the living room. Next thing you know, they disappeared. I go, where'd they go? They're out in the porch, and they're throwing peanuts up in the air. The bats come down to swoop. And they hit the bat with a laser. Okay. Now, I'm telling this story below ground in mid Manhattan in a lunchroom. No sooner did I finish that sentence, a bat flew in the room. Now, everybody's like, looked at me. Now, the question is was I in kind of a state where I got something out non-linearly? Did the bat flying in the room, which I detected subconsciously, make me tell that story? Or did I tell the story and the bat just coincidentally came
Well, these are things, there are a number of different possibilities. Can't rule anything out much.
That if you apply that to Clay's reaching out to Rich.
Yeah, I got it.
That's a possible explanation.
Okay. Now, the other thing is, at this point in time, why have you resurfaced with this story when it was really put through the mill at the end on the internet? Why come back? Why now? Did you get any kind of outside encouragement?
Nope.
All right. So what, you're on your own timeline. You're on your own timeline. Go ahead.
We're at the end of 2017. Contact did not happen.
Right.
That was the date we were given. Okay. So we're at the end of our timeline. And the other thing is, Mars's secretary called you. You guys got together, and you took the initiative.
Right.
Nobody's been knocking. No one's been banging down our door to talk to us.
If she hadn't and I hadn't, you guys would still be dark.
That's right. Absolutely not. We would never have come forward, Jeff. You get to a point where when the AATIP, mm-hmm. the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program, Tong DeLong, and the Confirmation Program, which we were quite aware of, what comes screaming out at me is that this program was the UN Disclosure Confirmation Program that Rich was a part of, because the DIA, at least with DeLong's people, were a part of this, and Rich was a part of that in 2007,
mm-hmm.
okay? Now, the interesting thing is that one of the things that came screaming out at me was, we can infer, is that I think Obama's been briefed, as I said, and Obama's reference to aliens, to the PGA golfer named Spieth, John Spieth, I think, if I'm correct, where he says, and you would not believe what aliens look like.
Right, I got the quote. Thank you. I did get that.
And you know something, Jeff? I don't want to speculate. I don't want to reach out.
Well, that's one of those potential coincidences.
No,
maybe it isn't.
Nah. Obama knows exactly. He got told about the program, and he's alluding to the silicon species, and I'll say it on the record. So when he said that, It's not when you say you wouldn't believe what aliens look like, because most people, when they think of an alien, they think of the big-headed, almond-shaped gray, or they think of a reptilian, or they think of a tall white, or the God knows, but they don't think of something that's just completely
I understand. I get
alien
that.
Life.
You said they're free.
I got the integration. I get it. But I got.
So
I got
Obama.
Go ahead.
I think Obama was pushing the program, and I think Obama was using that as leverage in probably any investigation that's coming up, at least in terms of more plebeian terrestrial concerns that we're seeing in terms of.
Do you expect we don't have a lot of time?
I think Obama was, that was a shot across the bow. Says, hey guys, careful. I might drop the ball on this.
All right. Do you think we're going to see more video, more military or other eyewitnesses be pushed into the media spotlight here pretty soon?
I don't know, but we're going to see, as Don Alexander said, we're going to see better sensors and better technology.
Better what?
Better sensors and better technology. In other words,
right.
Everything that we're seeing now or we're exploring with the AATIP has already been out there. We're rediscovering the wheel, the whole UAP, UFO wheel. It's just that the sensors are better.
Jeez, they've known about it for 80 years. Come on, this is old news.
I have to wonder if this is nothing but a pressure valve. So I don't know. And I'm willing to give the benefit of the doubt to Tom DeLonge and to the Academy, or the Academy to the Stars, and let's see where this goes. But at the ultimate day, there's a primer here, Jeff. And this is what I'm trying to convey, at least in these interviews, is that the primer is extraterrestrial contact. And it's the program. It's the most important program that's pushing forth the confirmation disclosure aspect that we're seeing today. There has to be something more, because power does not give up power. It doesn't. So there's something out there, there's something more that is causing great consternation with what's happening.
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of conflict.
Can I offer one thing?
Go ahead, Sean.
You asked me, do I believe Rich's story?
Did I ask you that?
85, 15, or 90-10. And the reason it's not 100% is because it didn't happen to me. So people find this story completely implausible because it doesn't fit in their consensus reality of what the ET phenomenon is. We get that. But at the end of the day, unless it actually happens to me, I'm not going to commit to anything. We put our investigative hats together for 7 or 8 years on this issue.
Uh-huh.
Prior to Phil said, okay, or 5 years.
Right.
And, you know, we got people involved. We tried to verify this as best as we could. And at the end of the day, it's going to be one of those things that comes down to it's unknowable in my mind.
It's annullable?
Unknowable.
Oh, unknowable. Well, that's annullable, too. Okay, even though it isn't a word, annullable. Maybe it is a word. All right, now, here's the other question. Probably the last one of this visit. What is keeping you from thinking that perhaps Rich was leading you in directions with intent to keep you on this path of bizarre ET involvement? Could he have been, if he's half the man you say in terms of connections and intelligence and all that, could he not have been, I don't want to say misleading you, but that's the word, misleading you, front-loading you with material that wasn't necessarily correct, just to get you on this path so when disclosure does occur, you would be at least prepped, maybe incorrectly, but you'd be prepped. You follow me?
Well, yep. here's my immediate answer to that. If Rich's desire or objective is to do that, then he suffered terribly. What do you get out of it?
He got nothing out of it. And we got nothing out of it, too, because we were researchers. I mean, that was it. We researched for people, and that was it. We were done. I got nothing out of this.
All right. Is it possible he gave you information that was a little different than reality? I'm not saying lying to you grossly.
Possible.
Yeah. You're reporting what you experience very, very well. You're really putting out, and we appreciate that. But you don't know for sure. You weren't there. You saw a scar.
I invented the word. It's not knowable.
Right.
Jeff, let me spend 6 years with you, okay? Let me spend 6 years with you. Almost every other day, talking, getting together. Let me see the worst of you. Let me see the best of you.
Every other day, that heavy a contact? Wow.
Yes. Let me.
I didn't know it was that.
I want to say one thing, Clay.
It was that frequent. Go ahead.
I got an argument with Richard, and he threw a beer at me. And
apple cider, Sean. It was hard apple cider.
I remember at that point, I wasn't mad because I got under his skin about a very specific issue.
Right.
And then he backed up and he apologized profusely.
All right, but we're out of time, but hold on. Do you expect to see Rich again?
Yes.
Okay. Do you think Rich would ever do a radio program like this?
No, not a chance.
Don't blame him. Ridicule is not a fun thing. We're going to be back next week. Tell our listeners what we're going to do next week, and we're going to wrap this up in a four-part series. Robert Morningstar will be here next week. What are we going to do next week?
Well, I mean, it's about bringing Bob in and getting in and kind of feeling out his experience to give and lend depth to another person, their involvement.
Okay.
How's that sound?
That's fine. Yeah. It'll be very interesting.
Jeff, do you want to do 1 or 2 hours? I'll leave that up to you.
Or maybe you'll talk to Bob and see how much he feels he'd like to get involved as well. But you guys sit back, think about anything that you, in your mind, didn't cover adequately. We can pick those loose ends up. I know there's probably a truckload, but I think we got the main story out there. It's now memorialized. It'll be there for anybody to listen to anytime they want. And perhaps at some point, Rich will hear it and be more than interested, I would think.
You know, Jeff, when you come back, we didn't hit it. It's okay, but I'll tell you how when our guy came back in from outside speaking to the chief of staff.
Okay.
To Obama and how angry he was. That's an interesting subject.
That is a good story. All right, we'll do that next week. Thank you, Clay and Sean, very much. Well done. And again, I don't know how anybody could put this together and present it. It's so complicated, but you did it. So you did a good job. Really good.
Thank you, Jeff.
All right, thank you. Take care.
Thank you.
All right, there they go, the Pickering brothers. Okay, and we're going to pause and come right back with Richard Allgaier from Hawaii to talk about that ICBM alert. This is a big story, and there's much more going on in the Pacific Theater than perhaps most of us would even imagine. Back after this.